Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Mmm. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
Hey, you can watch the PGA Rocket Mortgage Classic from Detroit on ESPN Plus with multiple feeds, including some marquee groups. You see Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, Webb Simpson. Starts this morning live on ESPN Plus. They're on the course. Very quickly, so just a few moments ago, we showed you this. Sacho, once upon a time, making a huge stop on Ezekiel Elliott and breaking his rib in the process. Sacho broke his rib, and he said someday he'd gather his children around and tell them about the day he did this. And I said, well, your children are already around. You could do this right now. So here's the, he did it. Sacho, during a break, you actually gathered your children around and told them about the time that Ezekiel Elliott.
They don't care. They don't care.
Daddy broke his rib. Look, guys, look, Daddy's rib is broken. That really happened. And that's Ezekiel Elliott. He's really good. You don't believe me?
Oh, no.
They don't believe me. Guys, it's true, I promise. I played in the NFL for 9 years. Oh, Lord, help. That was Daddy, guys. That was Daddy.
Hey. We are a family show that is an extension of the family. And my kids don't believe anything I did either. Nothing was nearly as cool as getting your rib broken by Ezekiel Elliott. Anyway, we are back. We're live, as always, at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Where might we go in hour number two? Let's find out. It is time to get up with A-Aaron. Oh, wait until you hear his very first comments on the departure of Devontae. You will in just a moment. This is going to get good. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, the coach comments on the criticism of his quarterback, and he goes off. You will not want to miss it. And then it's Russ getting ready to cook. Did he put the best division in the NFL and in history on notice yesterday? Those are the questions. We got all the answers as we get up at hour number two, starting right now with the game of the night, Mets, Yankees, game two of two in this Subway Series. It was on ESPN last night. Bottom of two, no score. Pete Alonso changes that with one swing off Domingo Germán. Oh, what a season he's having. 26 home runs, 84 RBIs, leads the majors. Mets a 1-0 lead. He actually overtook Aaron Judge for the RBI lead during this series. And Judge had a rough night facing Max Scherzer on Scherzer's 38th birthday. That's a strikeout with two on and two out in the third. Now in the seventh, Mets still up 2-0. Yankees, runners at the corners for Judge. Aaron Judge struck out three times against Scherzer last night. Scherzer's seven innings, six Ks, did not allow a run. Top of eight, David Peterson on for Scherzer. Yanks, a runner on, nobody out. Gleyber Torres, he's out in a hurry the other way. That's his 16th of the season, and the Yankees tie it up at two. We go bottom nine, still tied at two. Runners at third, so they're 90 feet away from a win. The crowded Citi Field can feel it. Starling Marte at the plate. Wandy Peralta on the mound. Can Marte be the hero? Yes, he can. That's your walk-off. That's your ball game. That's your mini sweep. Let me tell you, in this town, this was a big deal these last 2 days. The celebration on, the Mets get the win. And following the walk-off loss, the Yankees made a move. A lot of eyes to see what they will do in the Bronx. This is where it starts. They get left fielder Andrew Benintendi from the Royals to give them a much-needed boost at that position. As you see, their OPS from that spot in the lineup, 17th in baseball, their worst at any position this year. All right, to the NFL we go. Aaron Rodgers getting ready for his first season without Devontae Adams since 2013. Last week, Adams, talking about his transition to Derek Carr, said, quote, anytime you change quarterbacks from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's going to be an adjustment. Well, Rodgers responded yesterday when asked about his new number one receiver, Alan Lazard.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. You know, from Devontae to Allen, it's going to be, a transition. But he's capable of a lot.
With Rodgers, you never know, because he doesn't even smile when he says it. This is a man who walked into camp dressed up as Nicolas Cage from Con Air, but did not crack a smile when he said that. So who knows what he really thinks, one way or another. We had an interesting conversation this morning that came up based upon a comment that Jeff made about who will miss who more, Rodgers or Adams. And Lewis, I want to pick up a thought you just had a few minutes ago. You said you think Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City will be more efficient with the departure of Tyreek Hill, that they will find a way to make him just as good or better based upon other things they can do. Can Rodgers do that in Green Bay with the weapons that he has?
Yeah, I absolutely think he can be as efficient in terms of his completion percentage, his yards per attempt, situational football. Look, Aaron's a master of this offense. Aaron knows this offense as well as Coach LaFleur knows this offense now, and he has every tool at his disposal when he gets up there to the line of scrimmage to go ahead and put them in the best possible position to move the football, especially throwing the football. So I think from an efficiency standpoint, as long as a guy like Christian Watson, who they drafted in the second round, doesn't spend too much time on PUP like he is right now, and Aaron's able to build chemistry with him, as long as guys like Romeo Doubs, who they drafted in the fourth round out of Nevada, continue to come on the way he is coming on, as long as Alan Lazard stays healthy, as long as guys like Robert Tonyan, these guys continue to do their part, Aaron's going to do his part. And I think this offense overall, when you look at the system, when you look at the running game, the quality of the offensive line, the quality of the play calling overall, the number of cracks they're going to have at it because of how good this defense is going to be, I think Aaron will be as efficient as he's ever been. Other players have to do their part, but I think you will just see it look differently than it looked in the past when Devontae has been there and he can just always go to him.
I think that's fair. But let me change the paradigm of it just a little bit here, Sacho. Rodgers is the best. I mean, Rodgers is as good as anybody that ever lived. You just saw all the numbers on the screen. First and first and first and first. No one is questioning him in the slightest. But the only standard for this team right now is, are they closer to a championship or further from a championship? Because they've been so good the last few years and haven't done it. I struggle with the notion that anyone would think they're closer to a championship in the absence of Devontae Adams. Is there any way that they can be this year, Sacho?
I think they can be. I don't think they're closer or further. I think they're about the same because they have the constant factor in Aaron Rodgers. Listen, nobody believed or knew that Devontae Adams was going to be Devontae Adams before Devontae Adams became Devontae Adams. Nobody believed or knew that Jordy Nelson was going to turn into this superstar, at least when he played, before he joined with Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers has a way of making the number one receiver a number one receiver. I think he can do the same with Alan Lazard. Over the last few years, Alan Lazard has been quietly building trust with Aaron Rodgers, and now it's time to hand off the baton to be this new number one receiver. And so for me, we all have our doubts, which I guess makes sense, but in all reality, like, year one and year two, Devontae Adams, he wasn't just killing it. He was a rookie. He was learning. He was getting better. Year one, year two, Jordy Nelson, 300-500 yards. That's what you see consistently. And so for me, now the ball is figuratively and literally in Alan Lazard's hands, and I believe he's going to run with it. We have no reason to believe that he won't because of who his quarterback is.
We do in a sense because Alan Lazard is not Devontae Adams. Like, you can't sit here and say that Alan Lazard is as good as Devontae Adams. I don't care who the quarterback is. Just head to head, those two wide receivers are not the same.
But maybe what Sacho is saying is Devontae Adams wouldn't be Devontae Adams if he hadn't played with Aaron Rodgers.
We're going to find out, and I think he will be with Derek Carr. He's still going to be.
Go ahead, guys. Lewis,
what
go.
I'm saying is this. What I'm yeah. saying is this. What I'm saying is this.
Go, Sacho.
It's not like when Devontae Adams, 2014, 2015, he was getting 500 yards in his first few years, 16, right? Then he burst on the scene and became wide receiver number one. That's what I'm saying. And so, of course, no, Alan Lazard is not Devontae Adams right now, but there's no way. Who's to say that he won't develop into a top-tier receiver? We did not know that Devontae Adams would be this special back in 2014 when he was drafted in the second round and 15 when he wasn't getting that many reps. We did not know that. We didn't know that Jordy Nelson would be Aaron Rodgers' go-to guy back when he was drafted. He was a kick returner, a punt returner. He had two touchdowns his rookie year. We didn't know. And so, like, it's easy to say, oh, there's no way. But I believe that there is a way. I believe that there is a way, and there's a clear path because of who he has at quarterback.
Go ahead, Lewis.
I think also what we're talking about here with Green Bay, I think you brought this up. is the fact that, look, with Green Bay, we're just – Green Bay is measured ultimately by championships, right? How many – and really at this point in time in Aaron Rodgers' career, the only thing that we care about with him is whether or not he's in the Super Bowl and whether or not he's winning the Super Bowl. What kept them out of the Super Bowl last year was not Davante Adams not being able to answer the bell when they needed him the most. It really wasn't a Davante Adams issue. There were bigger things at play here. And then, I guess what I'm saying here is this. Are they closer to being a championship team without Davante? Well, no, of course you'd want him on the football team. But there were other factors that were probably even more important that kept them out of the Super Bowl that I think they are going to be better at this year than they were last year, regardless of whether Davante is there or not. That being special teams play, and that being even better defensive play. See, I know we love to, and I say we, meaning we, when we all talk about this game, we love to try and individualize the game because it's easier to focus in on individuals than it is to focus in on the collective, which is why really we love football, is because it's the ultimate team game. Green Bay has a chance to, in the end, accomplish more things from a team perspective than they did last year, simply because I think in the three-phase operation, they're going to be better this year than they were last year. They are not going to have the same kind of dynamic playmaking that Davante brought to them last year. There's no doubt. Look, he had 170 targets. He had 123 catches. He's the baddest cat out there. But they may be better as a team in the end if the ways that they really improved this football team bear out over the course of a 17-game season.
Give me a quick final word, Jeff.
Do you know what ultimately makes me agree with Lewis? The fact that he can be so confident to go on national TV and undo like three buttons on his shirt. Like, I mean, that is an unbelievably confident move.
I know. It's distracting.
I love it. All right. Look, it was worth staying there for as long as we did, because this is a fascinating circumstance,
and we will see how it
plays out. Look, between Sacho's kids and Lewis's chest, we're having quite a morning here. Get up. Let's take a quick break. We never even got to Lamar Jackson, but we will. First, we're going to talk about Russell Wilson putting the AFC West on notice. Should we believe the hype surrounding Russ and the Broncos? We will do that, and then we will get, I promise, to Lamar Jackson. You need to hear what his coach said in his defense, and you need to hear what Lamar may be on the verge of doing next. You will as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and here we go to Lamar Jackson. He showed up at practice yesterday, still without a contract extension in place. Now, you know already about the article on The Athletic this week in which an anonymous defensive coordinator criticized his style of play, saying if he has to pass to win the game, they're not winning the game. But here was Coach John Harbaugh yesterday with his response.
He's been hearing the same thing since he was probably in junior high. You know, I know he heard it in college. I know he heard it through the draft. I know we hear some of the same people saying the same things they said in the draft, you know. That keeps coming up. I don't know who this guy named Anonymous is. You know, I haven't met him yet. So I don't even know why we report on what he has to say. But it is what it is. It's just bologna. It's just nothing. It's a big nothing burger.
So we'll let that be the last word on this. We've all talked about it all week long. The criticism was, it felt extraordinarily personal and was candidly ridiculous. But we can move past that because the Lamar Jackson situation right now, I think, is pretty serious. We jokingly said this week it's the DJ Khaled song. Like, he could say, all I do is win, but now he's got money on his mind, right? Where are we right now as far as the contract extension?
Greeny, my biggest takeaway from a conversation I had with someone in Baltimore yesterday is that it is a very real possibility that Lamar Jackson could play this season without a new contract. Okay, the Ravens have an offer on the table. He could take it, and it's very possible that he will. It is still absolutely a real possibility, best and final type of offer. But based on my conversations, it's also very practical in Lamar Jackson's mind that he goes in there, that he plays this year on a prove-it year, and comes back and tries to play the free agency card with that franchise situation, which is fascinating.
So there was, throughout most of NFL history, Lewis, we would have said, that's crazy. Don't even think about playing without getting your guaranteed money. And then in this franchise tag, we've seen Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott play it out that way, and it worked out very well for them in the end. So where do you sit as far as the possibility that Lamar Jackson plays this season without a contract extension?
Look, I've always been the one, or one of the people who says that given what he's already accomplished and what he is and how he has built up his resume already, he is deserving of the long-term financial security that he is looking for and that you have seen other quarterbacks get. Okay, now, spinning that forward, especially considering the manner in which he plays, the amount of responsibility they put on his plate from a running and passing perspective, I have said that, you know what, that is a risk that I am just not comfortable with. And if I was his representation, I wouldn't be comfortable with it. Because at any moment, especially given how he is in harm's way so often and the number of hits that he ultimately will accumulate, that his career could be over just like that. And I know he can insure himself against catastrophic injury and all that, but not to the degree that by which he could really set up himself from a financial perspective if he got one of those Deshaun Watson type of contracts, which is really, I think, what this is coming down to. Look, Jeff, is this really, you know, he's articulated the fact that maybe the Ravens have made their final and best offer. Well, we'll know if it's closer to what, you know, Deshaun Watson got based upon if Lamar accepts it or not, and then we ultimately get to details. If you see him kind of just go ahead and say, hey, look, there's not going to be a long-term extension, and we're just going to play this season out, maybe we hear about what this offer was, maybe we don't. But I can guarantee you then, it won't have been anywhere close to what Deshaun Watson's deal was, because why would he accept anything less than that, given how he has been someone who has been a model off the field and on the field, and this whole franchise has built everything around him? Why would he? Why would he accept anything less than that right now? I still have not heard anybody tell me why he should accept a dollar less than what Cleveland gave him. It's not his fault that Cleveland gave Deshaun the contract they did. But it is something he should try and take advantage of and leverage.
That's right. I mean, I thought RC said it really well here this week, Sacho. He said he's not a system quarterback. He is the system. And without him, the Ravens are nowhere. So he's got leverage as far as I see it. But if he's willing to play, he's willing to play. What do you think, Sach?
Yeah, well, he doesn't have as much leverage as I would like him to have. And here's what I mean by that. This last season, he's coming off of an injury, right? The Ravens didn't do as well. All their entire team was injured. And so, yes, you're negotiating and you, quote, have leverage. But imagine if he goes through this season. Imagine if Lamar Jackson goes and gets another MVP. Imagine if his team goes back and wins the playoffs, beats the Bills, beats teams like the Chiefs. Imagine if that happens and they still didn't sign him, right? Like, my deal is this. Negotiate from a place of power, not from a place of weakness. Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks in football. If they're offering him a contract, anything less than fully guaranteed like Deshaun Watson got, anything less than 46, 7, I would even say above $50 million a year like Aaron Rodgers is getting, he should not take it. And so, yes, bet on yourself. You've been doing it your entire career, your entire life, and you keep on proving people wrong. Last thing I'll say is this. When Lamar Jackson got drafted 32nd overall in the draft, the Ravens traded up and went and picked him 32nd. They asked him, I think it was Deion Sanders, said, hey, what do you feel about all the people, the naysayers, the haters? He said, I'm going to make them eat their words. Now, along with this anonymous defensive coordinator and anyone else who doesn't want to sign him currently, I believe he's going to make each and every one of them or us eat our words, and he's going to ball ball out this year and get a record-setting contract whenever it gets signed.
All right, we'll see. This is it's a fascinating story, and it's playing out right before our eyes as training camp is underway. We'll have more on that as we go. We are also 30 days until the start of college football, so we have Heather Dinich in our studio today, and she is looking at the three most exciting matchups of the season beginning right off the bat.
Number three, Georgia, Oregon. Dan Lanning is in his first season coaching the Ducks, and he's going to face his former team, the defending national champs. And guess what? If they don't win this game and they lose the SEC championship again, you're looking at the selection committee thinking about a two-loss team that doesn't win its conference. Haven't seen it before. And then the next game is Ohio State, Michigan, the game. This one last year knocked the Buckeyes right out of the conversation. But you know what? There's a bigger storyline here. It's, can Jim Harbaugh build upon his success? And in order to do that, he's got to beat his rival again. I'm not sure if he can do that. We'll see, because Ohio State's offense is so good. And then finally, the biggest game of the season with the biggest playoff implications in my mind is Notre Dame, Ohio State. The Buckeyes are in this conversation again, but this is more for Notre Dame because as an independent, they face a higher burden of proof in that selection committee meeting room without a conference championship to play in. If they lose this game, they have to run the table. ESPN's FPI says they're going to lose against Clemson. I guarantee you no two-loss Irish team is going to get in the top four.
Well, isn't that fascinating? And we had Notre Dame's coach in here, Marcus Freeman, earlier this morning, that the most important game, the most impactful game of the entire season takes place right off the bat. It is the best thing about college football, I think, that these championship caliber games take place immediately, and you have been very high on Ohio State in every conversation I've had with you.
And that's for two reasons, Greeny. One is because they returned C.J. Stroud. He led the team to the top offense in the country last year. He should do it again, but he has playmakers all around him, including wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba, who, in my opinion, is one of the best players in the country. But Jim Knowles is their defensive coordinator. I had a chance to talk with him. He is jacked up. What he did at Oklahoma State was really phenomenal against the pass-happy offenses. And for him to be able to be that missing piece of the puzzle, they can take the next step. But you saw, they were in two of the three biggest games that I just mentioned. They certainly can't lose both of them.
No. I mean, and you probably can afford to lose one. But is it fair to say that the loser of this game puts themselves now on the fringe? The winner of this game is in the driver's seat, because you bank that going forward in a driver's seat for a playoff spot at the end of the year.
Yes, but remember what happened to Ohio State last year. They lost to Oregon. Well,
yes, they did.
they lost to Oregon, right? And they were still in the conversation right to the very end. But that's what happens. It puts the pressure on you, and then Michigan was the final dagger. Right. But Oregon, on the flip side, couldn't do anything with it.
That's correct. So we'll see. And I know you like Utah out there out west. It's going to be fascinating. 30 days till the start of college football, and we are getting ready. In the meantime, back to the NFL. We will go next. Could there possibly be a big flaw in Patrick Mahomes' game? One defensive coordinator isn't completely sold. I can't wait to hear Lewis Riddick on that. And I can't wait to see how Darlington does with this. Here we go, Jeff from Sneaky Hembo. Who leads the NFL in 400-yard passing games since 2018? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back. And why does Jeff Darlington already look like he is defeated when he hasn't even given an answer to Hembo's question? So going back to 2018, which was the year that Patrick Mahomes became sort of the full-time starter in Kansas City, who leads the NFL in 400-yard
passing? This is the problem. Hembo plays mind games. I want to say Mahomes because it's obvious, but there's no way Hembo would make it the Mahomes, but maybe he would just because he's playing mind games. So Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is second.
Oh.
Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott has the most 400-yard games with 9, followed by Mahomes, followed by Aaron Rodgers. By the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick is on that list.
Oh, wow.
With 5. But Dak is the answer. All right. There's going to be no living with Hembo now. But let's play buy or sell here, guys, as we work our way around the sport. I want you to see this great one-handed catch that Saquon Barkley made as the Giants have their training camp underway. Look at the one-handed grab from Saquon. Jeff, are you buying or selling a Saquon bounce-back season?
I'm buying it statistically. I think he'll put up gaudy numbers, and I think he'll stay healthy this year. The problem is, I don't think that's going to equate to very many wins for the Giants.
Let's go next to Lewis Riddick. Michael Thomas returning to the field for the Saints yesterday, and we will get to them in a moment. There we go. Lewis, are you buying or selling Michael Thomas returning as a number one wide receiver?
I'm buying. Look, I have always been a big fan of Michael Thomas. I think this offense overall now has acquired some weapons on the perimeter that can help him, that can allow him to be moved all over the place by Pete Carmichael in terms of getting him in favorable one-on-one matchups. This is a matter of health. If he's healthy, he'll be a number one option. This dude is a bad dude now. He's one of the toughest pound-for-pound players in the NFL and one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in terms of his hands and ability to make contested catches. He's legit. He was a number one before he got hurt. He'll be a number one after.
All right, and then one more. I want to go to Kansas City, and I want you to see a great diving catch that Juju Smith-Schuster, that's right, he's a Chief. A reminder, look at the great diving catch he made. Sacho, are you buying or selling a resurgent season for Juju in KC?
I'm buying it because Juju doesn't have all the pressure on him. You have Travis Kelce, one of the best, if not the best tight end in football, security blanket. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantling going to be the deep threat to try and replace some of the production from Tyreek Hill. And then Juju, back in 2018, he had over 1,400 yards, sophomore season. So he had the capability. Now he's healthy. I am buying.
All right, let me stay there in Kansas City for a minute because as soon as I saw these quotes from an unnamed defensive play caller in The Athletic about Patrick Mahomes, my first thought was, I can't wait to read these to Lewis. And then duck. So the quotes are, we love Mahomes because of his unorthodox throws, not because of his natural pocket presence. When that disappears, that is when they lose games. I don't think that is a number one, meaning the number one tier. I think that is a 2.
What?
Nothing against the guy. I love the kid. But take his first read away, and what does he do? He runs, he scrambles, and he plays street ball. That's an actual quote about Patrick Mahomes. Lewis Riddick,
this is great.
Go.
This is great.
Okay, well, all right. First of all, every defensive coordinator tries to take away the opposing quarterback's number one read. That's what they do, okay? So it's not like all of a sudden you're saying, like, hey, if you take away his number one read. Look, first of all, every team has tried to do that. Number two, let's just put this up from, you know, from an objective standpoint. And Hembo, the great Hembo, who just stumped Jeff Darlington, he gave me this stat. Since 2018, which is when Patrick Mahomes took over as the full-time starter in Kansas City, who's the number one quarterback in the NFL as measured by QBR from the pocket? Not playing street ball, but from the pocket. That would be Patrick Mahomes. Now, in 2021, there was some, you know, you started to see some flaws as far as Patrick bailing out of the pocket, maybe sooner than he needed to, maybe making things harder on himself than he needed to, maybe not seeing the field as good as he needed to and as good as he is capable of doing. That happens. This is a guy who's now going into his sixth year in the NFL. He is still on the up and up. And let's just remind ourselves, since he became a starter, he is number one in the NFL as far as measured by QBR from the pocket. He's only going to continue to get better. He's only going to continue to get better. And when people start saying, look, well, when he runs around and you take away his first read and it turns into street ball, that's when you got him. Well, you know, do we say that about Josh Allen? I put a clip on Twitter yesterday of Josh Allen against Kansas City in the playoff game down there on the goal line making one of those street ball type of plays. And this is the kind of thing that all defensive coordinators right now have nightmares about. Guys who, when you do take away the number one read, they can extend play. As a matter of fact, coaches are looking for guys who can do that. But with Patrick, because he had a bit of a downtick in terms of his passer rating, his yards per attempt in 2021, now everybody wants to say, we got him. Now we know the key. Just take away that first read, and now we've got him where we want him. And now, and to say he's not tier one, I mean, what the hell is that? Like, what is happening here? What's happening with these damn lists, man? I mean, this is kind of getting we need to play games. Yeah. We need to play football games, and people need to stop talking. That's what needs to happen.
That's right. Look, you want to argue he's not perfect? That's fine. But if he's not tier one, who is? He's overwhelmingly been the best quarterback in the NFL for the last 5 years in everyone's estimation. Sacho, go ahead quickly.
Greeny, this reminds me of when I was playing in the NFL, the defensive meetings where we'd play a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or maybe a dominant running back. And the defensive game plan would be like, well, no, he's really, if you do this, you do that. And Tom Brady, if you make him scramble, all these things. And you can never do it because these players are so elite. And so for me, it's easy to say these things and put it in a game plan. And like, yeah, if you really, you know, Tom Brady, you make him scramble. Well, dude, you can't make him scramble. Oh, well, Patrick Mahomes, if you keep him in the pocket. Well, dude, he's perfect from the pocket. Lamar Jackson can't win in the fourth quarter. He's one of the best fourth quarter quarterbacks. These are just statements that I think people say to try and build their own confidence, but oftentimes these people probably have the lowest confidence. It's probably like the worst defensive coordinators. That's why they're anonymous. They're probably the worst ones in the league saying, well, Patrick Mahomes this and Lamar Jackson that. I'm serious. And the problem is, the truth is, I used to hear stuff like this in meeting rooms. And then I would go and watch the film. I'd be like, coach, you're wrong. Or I'd go and play the game and be like, coach, we were wrong. And that's what's going to happen.
That's really well said. Give me a quick final thought.
No, I mean, I think we've almost become desensitized already to the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, and that is a scary proposition.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best player. So if he's not tier one, then there is no tier one. If there was only one player on tier one, it would be him. Yeah,
that's exactly
so
right.
I don't understand. Okay, let's leave that there for the moment. Let's talk about some players that we will someday see in the NFL. We are 30 days until college football. And with the great Heather Dinich in our studio this week, we decided to ask her for her first ever fundamental list, and the list is the top five players in the sport this season. At number five, we start in Texas.
Bijan Robinson, their running back. He has the best chance to win the Heisman for any running back in the country. He's one of the reasons I say Texas is going to be the most improved team. He had, in just 10 games, he's got to stay healthy, 15 touchdowns last year. So I think he's definitely one of the best.
Now, the remainder of the list is going to be very heavy on Ohio State and Alabama. Let's go number four, Ohio State.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, their wide receiver. I mean, I'm going to give you one stat, okay? In just five games, 60 catches, over 950 yards. Five games, Greeny, 60 catches. I mean, I don't know if I have to say anything else. And he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the country throwing to him. He's also got Travion Henderson running back around him. This offense is amazing.
I think he had all of those in the Rose Bowl, didn't he? Like, he was the best player you've ever seen in the Rose Bowl. At number three, we go to Bama and the defending Heisman winner.
That's right, Bryce Young. And I got to tell you, he's one of the most unassuming Heisman Trophy winners I've ever met. I sat with him at SEC Media Days. And look, he's fabulous. He's got players around him as well. I think that he definitely has a chance to win the Heisman Trophy again. Just because he did it once doesn't mean he shouldn't be able to do it again. But I just don't think he's going to be the best player in the country this year.
Well, that's interesting because he's a player. He's a quarterback that teams in the NFL are salivating over. And at number two is a quarterback that I think some teams might like even better.
Maybe. C.J. Stroud at Ohio State. He led the number one offense last year, and I think he's going to do it again because of all those playmakers around him. He's just a phenomenal athlete when you look at everything that he's able to do. I'm telling you, Marcus Freeman, that defense, I can't wait to see what game plan he really does have for them because they've got weapons everywhere on the field.
There's a very good chance I think he's the number one pick in the draft next year, but he's not your number one player in the country. Who is?
He's not. It's linebacker Will Anderson Jr. at Alabama. And again, another player I got to sit down and talk with at SEC Media Days. What he does on the field is just a bonus to what he is as a person. I truly mean that. But when he was able to do, he led the nation last year in pressures, sacks, TFLs. I mean, the guy does it all. And from that position as a defender, Heisman Trophy voters, hello, McFly, best player in the country.
he wants to be the first. He said it, right? The first, like, pure defensive player to win the Heisman.
He did. And you know what? His quarterback said, I hope it comes to fruition.
Well, his quarterback already has one, so he could just welcome another member to the fraternity. There they are, the five to remember all college football season long and then next year in the draft. In the meantime, I want you to remember that the Derek Jeter video continues. Seven-part docuseries, The Captain, tonight. Episodes 3 and 4, an unprecedented look into Jeter's life and career on and off the field, begins 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN+. All right, back to the NFL next. Russ getting ready to cook. Did he put the best division in NFL history on notice yesterday? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, want to make sure you know you can watch the PGA Rocket Mortgage Classic from Detroit, Michigan on ESPN+. Plus, we have multiple feeds for you, including a marquee group with Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, Webb Simpson, and other featured groups. It's this morning. It's live on ESPN+. Plus. All right, let's go back to the NFL. The game is called Better, Worse, or the Same. Lewis Riddick, will Jalen Hurts this year be better, worse, or the same?
I think he'll be better. I think the table is set for him, much like it is down in Miami for Tua Tagovailoa, as for him to be able to now be better as far as his efficiency from the pocket and his ability to pass when teams take away the run and or they're playing with a deficit and they're having to throw the football. I think this is going to be a huge year for him. I think this is the best roster overall in the NFC East, and I think they will be primed to go ahead and take that division, or rather that division crown, and then we'll see what they can do once they get on into the playoffs.
I actually agree with that. Jeff Darlington, Tom Brady, better, worse, or the same?
Worse, but I don't mean that as a knock. I mean, he had an NFL high last year, over 5,000 yards, That was also a career high. It would be very difficult for Tom Brady to top last season, even if he was 29 years old,
yeah,
and he's 45 years old. Very difficult to be better than he was last year.
Don't rush him. He won't be 45 for another 6 days. Don't rush him there. Sacho, Russell Wilson, will he be better, worse, or the same in Denver?
He'll be significantly better. Russell Wilson had one of his worst year last year with injury, missing time for the first time, and then just playing poorly. I think he'll be better. New environment, different weapons. Nathaniel Hackett now being the head coach. Russell Wilson could not get much worse than he did last year. So this is an easy one. He'll be better.
Interesting. Let's hear from him. Russell Wilson was talking. He was asked about his expectations with his new team. Here's what he said.
We got a championship caliber football team, and we're excited about that. And so I think the exciting part about it is that, now it's time just to go show up and prove it and go do it.
So he always says the right things. Of that, there has never been any question. But, Lewis, it is worth diving into. In what might be the best division in NFL history and a loaded conference top to bottom, right this minute, are the Broncos a championship contender?
No, I don't believe they are. I think they are going to be a very good football team. I think by virtue of the fact that, as you just pointed out, they're in a loaded conference. They're at the bottom looking up, I believe, in that division. And that's not to be disrespectful to Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. That's just a fact. That's just really giving respect to the other teams in that division. I think there's also some questions that come along with the Denver Broncos. One, first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, first-time defensive coordinator. Russell Wilson playing with a new group of guys right now that he doesn't look. You can work out all you want in the offseason. He's never played in games with these guys yet. So we'll see. This is really, it's really, when you look at their offensive line, it's an average offensive line if you want to measure it by pass block and run block win rate. He still has to get on the same page with these wide receivers in terms of whether or not he can truly cook with this team in a way that he couldn't cook with the team out there in Seattle. So I think there's a lot more questions that need to be answered, and they can only be answered once they start playing games before you start saying, are they a championship contender? The other teams, you can say that. You've seen what Justin Herbert can do under Brandon Staley's tutelage. You know what Patrick can do. You know what Derek Carr can do. And you know that Josh McDaniels is going to be a better head coach the second time around than he was the first time around. The questions all start, to me, with the Denver Broncos.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. And people will point out that each of the last two seasons, very, very high-profile quarterbacks changed teams and won the Super Bowl immediately. Matt Stafford last year, Tom Brady the year before. That plays into this somewhere.
I go back to when Aaron Rodgers was thinking about leaving the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And one of the top teams on his list was the Denver Broncos for a reason. He believed he could do exactly what you said those other guys did in Matt Stafford and Tom Brady. Go to the Denver Broncos and win a championship because that roster is loaded enough. I keep coming back to that when I think about whether Denver is a championship caliber team. Of course, though, like you said, this might be the best division in football that we have ever seen.
What are you hearing coming out of there? What are the early reports as far as him and them and everything else?
That they are really approaching this with that championship caliber mindset. You heard him say that. By design, he mentioned championship caliber team. Nathaniel Hackett wants these guys believing that this is a Super Bowl contending team. He wants their expectations to be as high as you heard Russell Wilson cite them.
Sacho, give me a final word.
Yeah, final word is they're closer to the bottom than they are to the top when it comes to the AFC West. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. The Kansas City Chiefs have won it 6 years in a row. The LA Chargers are climbing right under the Kansas City Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs last year, and they lost in overtime. The Las Vegas Raiders have a coach who's won six Super Bowls and knows how to coach quarterbacks. And then you got the Denver Broncos. And so just the fact of the matter is, like Lewis said, they are closer to the bottom than they are to the top.
And that doesn't mean that Russell won't play great, which you just said that you think he will. All right, we'll leave all of that there for the moment. In the meantime, there is other news of an entirely different sort. It's a developing story. Russian officials are warning that a possible prisoner swap with the United States involving Brittany Griner needs to be negotiated quietly and without fanfare. Yesterday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that Washington had offered a deal that would bring home Griner and another jailed American, Paul Whelan. The U.S. reportedly proposed trading a convicted Russian arms dealer for Whelan and Griner. Griner was arrested on drug charges at a Moscow airport in February and is currently on trial.
We will pause briefly here. We have more to do on Get Up, and then First Take will take over in just a few minutes here at the top of the hour. Who has more to prove, Aaron Rodgers or Davante Adams? Plus, should Lamar sit out if he doesn't get a new contract? Those are the topics on the table. First Take, top of the hour here on ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep-sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it, too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get Up is brought to you by Meiomi Wines, flavor forward. All right, the Women's Euro Final is Sunday morning with our coverage starting 11:30 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus from Wembley Stadium in London, England. The host team will take on Germany. And with a few minutes before we turn it over to First Take, we ask the question, what did we miss? And as our first-time visitor, Heather, this week, what did we miss today?
Greeny, we've done like 2 hours of TV, and we have not talked about my Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, I'm glad you asked. We actually set aside a bite for Mike Tomlin, their head coach, just for you. Give me the coach.
You ready to name a starting quarterback after the first practice?
I'm not. But ask me tomorrow. Ask me tomorrow.
We will, Mike. Don't worry.
And no question.
I think they're going to be asking that question pretty much every single day. And before we dive into it, you have more on what one of the contenders for that role, and that would be Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I talked to his former coach, Pat Narduzzi, this morning from Pitt, and he told me that Kenny's got a great learning curve. And one of the interesting things he reminded me of was that when Kenny was in high school, Matt Canada, who's the Steelers' offensive coordinator, was coordinator at Pitt. And even though Canada left, they kept that same terminology. So when Kenny Pickett got to Pitt, he was still using a lot of what Matt Canada is using with the Steelers now. So there's that familiarity that he has going for them.
He also started like 50 games as a collegian. So he comes in probably as pro ready as just about any rookie quarterback in recent memory to battle with Mitch Trubisky. What do we know about where that quarterback competition will be, Jeff?
From what I understand, Trubisky does have the edge in terms of just the expectation. But I'm telling you, Greeny, every year there's always a quarterback in camp that just emerges. Like, remember when Russell Wilson did it? I have this weird feeling, Heather, that Kenny Pickett could be that guy for the reasons you were just citing. There's so much familiarity with the building that he's still in, like you said, with Canada. I don't know.
It's funny you say that because, Heather, I have that same feeling, but about Trubisky.
Yes,
Mitch Trubisky was placed in an impossible situation in Chicago where the coach didn't believe in him, didn't like him, and gave up on him immediately, even though he generally won games. Then he went to Buffalo where they took a quarterback who has basically that skill set. I'm not comparing Trubisky to Josh Allen. Allen is way, way, way better. But Trubisky does a lot of the same things. And I think that he developed those. If the Steelers do that, if they play to the strengths of Mitch Trubisky, I think he can show you why he was once the second pick in the draft. I'm not suggesting he's going to be one of the five best quarterbacks in football. But with that roster, I think he can be good enough to win with.
You can. I'm going to go with Pickett, though. We'll see what happens. But I, you know,
to start the season, you think he gets the job immediately?
I don't know if he gets the job immediately. I'm not willing to go that far.
Right.
But I do think that at some point this becomes his offense because he was in a pro-style offense. I think this is going to be a seamless transition for him. He wasn't running RPOs in college, and I think that he's going to be a natural fit.
The good news is there's far more positivity at this table at the Steelers than there ever was when Mike Tannenbaum last year discussed that team.
I'm bringing the vibe. Yeah. I'm bringing the positive vibe.
Well, I've had people here, multiple people, say that regardless of which of the four names on your screen winds up being the starter this year in Pittsburgh, and we think it'll either be Pickett or Trubisky for the most part, that their quarterback play will improve from last season. Now, that is not meant to sound as though it is diminishing Roethlisberger, although there's really almost no other way to take it immediately. Roethlisberger is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was a magnificent player and had a magnificent career. But the last year or two, perhaps it was something of a tribute to him that he was still out there on the field, and that that position, they will get better there this year.
The team did the right thing with Ben Roethlisberger. They handled his exit graciously. And I think ultimately, though, they also handled it in a way that allows them now to move on, try to find their future star in one of these guys.
Listen, as long as they beat the Ravens and don't tie the Lions, if that happens again, I'll be doing the up-downs, okay?
I'll say this. I think the Steelers are a sneaky, interesting team to watch this year. If they do get, look, they made the playoffs last year. I know it's easy to overlook that, but they did with below average quarterback play. If they get average quarterback play with that defense, those receivers, that running back, and that coach, I definitely think they're a playoff team.
If Watson gets suspended for several games, they could potentially be in line to win that division.
I don't think it's impossible. We'll see. I mean, the Ravens are really good. The Bengals, obviously, are the defending division and conference champs. But to sleep on Pittsburgh, I think, is a big mistake. Heather, awesome. Jeff, awesome. Thank you so much for getting up with us. We will see you back and better than ever. Same time, same place tomorrow. But the fun and conversation continue with First Take now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.